fans through all the noise out there today. Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, 100in. This is Big C coming to you from 100inChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning 100in kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on 100in County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning 100in, 100inChamberRadio.com.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are the alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they desire, which about one in every three does. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degree graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Renee Nickel will share about her book, Always My Hero, about her Marine brother. Then we'll discuss how the Revolutionary War really was won with author Nathaniel Philbrick. And Bill Steffens will share stories about his combat veteran's father on this Our Father's Day show. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to introduce Renee Nickel. She's a Gold Star sister who lost her Marine brother in combat, and she's written an amazing book about him entitled Always My Hero. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Renee.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Renee, tell us a little bit about your background. Talk about growing up with your brother Sam.
We just had a blast. We grew up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and, you know, we were latchkey kids. Both our parents worked, and so, you know, we had a lot of freedom to just roam around and find adventures and get into trouble, try to get out of trouble. So, you know, he was just a character, just really, really warm and funny, and we just had a great time growing up in Pennsylvania. And then when I was 10 years old, when we moved to North Carolina area, and then from there, after which I became a military wife and he joined the Marines. And so we've been all over since then.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, I grew up with three sisters and I always thought it was a brother's job to pick on sisters. Did your brother do a good job of picking on you?
Oh, he sure did. Yeah. You know, he always told me that he was going to give me a knuckle sandwich. And I know, I didn't know what that was, but I know I never wanted a knuckle sandwich. And, you know, he would hold me down and he'd give me Indian burns for, you know, harassing him. And
okay.
So,
A good brother. What else can we say? Okay.
Exactly.
So when and why did he join the Marines?
Well, he always wanted to be a pilot from the time he was about 5 years old. And we thought he would become an astronaut or, you know, his original plan was to join the Air Force. And when it came time for him to go to college, he wanted to go to Penn State, which he did. And he joined the Navy ROTC at Penn State. But after his first semester, the Marine Corps offered him a full ride if he switched to the Marines. So he could still fly jets. That was his goal. And so that's how he ended up joining the Marine Corps.
What were your feelings about him joining the military in general and the Marines in particular?
I didn't think really one way or another. You know, my dad was in the Army. You know, a lot of my uncles were in the military, Air Force, Army. My grandparents all served in World War II. I wasn't worried or anything. It just seemed like the natural course for him. And my mom had some concerns about him being a Marine. And, you know, and when I was 16 years old, when he went to college, I didn't really know the difference between Air Force, Marines, Army. You know, it wasn't really until I was became a military spouse that I really learned the differences of the branches.
That makes sense. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book, Always My Hero, with Renee Nickel. Okay, so he became a Marine, obviously a pilot. How did your relationship with him change, or did it change, when he was now a pilot in the military and you're not?
Well, you know, I was always really proud of him. And I would brag to people, to my friends, any chance I got. My brother flies F-18s because I thought it was the coolest thing in the world that my brother flew jets. And to me, he was just my big brother, you know, sometimes annoying, sometimes, you know, just silly. Yeah. And so I never really saw him as this Marine Corps officer who flies jets. You know, a lot of people respected, because to me, he's still the guy who had punched me in the arm when I was 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I thought it was really cool that he flew jets, but, you know, to me, he was just still Sam. But it was hard, you know, kind of living in his shadow. You know, I kind of just lived in his shadow most of our childhood and growing up.
Okay. Talk about his time in combat.
His first tour in Iraq, he just it was in 2003. It was after 9/11, and he went for, you know, straight 90 days and dropped some ordnance in Iraq. And then, you know, his second tour was to Iraq. It was after he stopped flying, and he became a forward air controller with the 4th Anglico. And, you know, he didn't see too much action. And I think his I think there's, you know, a few reasons why he went to Afghanistan for the third tour while he volunteered. But, you know, I think he wanted to see some combat. You know, he had been training for years with the 4th Anglico. And so that, you know, I mean, he ended up losing his life 5 weeks into the tour, you know, so he, you know, just unfortunately just was seeing too much combat. You know, he stepped in for another one of his other Marines, so.
Okay. And talk about that now as his sister. When you found out what happened, how did you and your family respond?
When I found out, it was the morning of December 14th in 2011, and I was getting my kids ready for school. I was, we were actually stationed at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And, you know, I was planning on going shopping, and it was 7:30 in the morning, and my phone rings, and it's my mom. And I'm wondering why my mom is calling me at 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, and I was just like, oh, it's my mom, you know? So I picked up the phone. I was like, hey, Mom, you know, and she's crying hysterically. I can't even understand a word she's saying. And, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, something must have happened to my brother. Like, he must have been injured, but, you know, I had this moment where I'm relieved that he, at least he's coming home, because in my mind, my brother was invincible, like just untouchable. You know, to me, he was and is my hero. And I just never saw him as someone who could lose his life in war. And, you know, my mom just kind of slowed her talking, and she was like, you know, Renee, Sam was killed in Afghanistan, and I just lost it. You know, I dropped the phone, fell to my knees, and you know, it was a tough day.
Of that, I believe. Folks, we're going to give away a copy of this book, Always My Hero, at the end of the show. But Renee, I'm sure some listeners will want to buy them. I presume it's available on Amazon and lots of other places.
It is. Any online retailer has it available.
He obviously had a family, so this is our Father's Day show. I take it that he was also a darn good father.
He was an excellent father. You know, he lost his life the day before his youngest son's birthday, his sixth birthday. And, you know, and I have a daughter now who's 4 years old. I have a son who's eight. And, you know, and actually my second daughter was five at the time when Sam was killed. And you know, and every time they reach an age, you know, and I think about, you know, those boys and how they lost their dad. He had two sons. One was, you know, like I said, had just turned six, and the other one was turning eight a few months later. But he was an outstanding dad. He wanted to spend every single moment he could with them when he was home.
Sounds like always my hero is an appropriate title. Renee, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for honoring one of our nation's true heroes. He was a husband and a father, and we honor him especially on this Father's Day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss the Revolutionary War with historian Nathaniel Philbrick. Then my friend Bill Steffen will discuss his combat vet dad. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. I want you to balance on 1 foot for 3 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 3 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
This hour of Front Lines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to introduce the noted author and historian Nathaniel Philbrick. He's written about our Revolutionary War. His latest book, In the Hurricane's Eye, is clearly on that topic, and it showed an aspect of the war that I knew existed but didn't realize I didn't understand. I guess you're really a naval guy, Nathaniel, so should I say welcome aboard?
Yeah, that sounds appropriate for a guy who lives on Nantucket Island, yeah.
Okay, that works. Give us a little bit of your background into your history. How did you become interested in and involved in history in general, early history and naval history?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in that Maritime Center of the Universe, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But when I was a kid, summering at my grandparents' place on Cape Cod, I learned how to sail. And for me, that was just transformative. I love the sense of independence. I just, you know, love being out on the water, the interaction with nature and all that. And I became a competitive small boat racer in college. And then when my wife and I turned 30, we had two little kids. My wife was a lawyer, and she had been working in Boston, but the commute to the house we owned outside Boston was driving both of us crazy. She got a job on Nantucket, and I was a huge fan of Moby Dick's at that point. I've always regarded that novel as my personal Bible. And we, of course, were moving to what had been in the 19th century the whaling capital of the world,
yeah.
Nantucket. And so I became interested in the history of what was now my adopted home, and would write my first work of history, A Way Offshore, A History of Nantucket. And that introduced me to the story of the Essex disaster, the whale ship that was rammed by a whale in 1820 and eventually inspired the climax of Moby Dick, which I wrote about in the heart of the sea. And so that sort of set me on the path I've been on ever since. Each book seems to evolve organically from the one before it. And I've always had kind of a maritime interest coming from the perspective I do. I think, you know, America's been defined by a sense of wilderness, and we think of that as the West, but before there was the West, there was the sea. That was really the defining wilderness of this country, and I think it's an underappreciated and an important part of our history.
I've never thought about putting it the way you just did, but I couldn't agree more with you. And also, when I learned to sail, I got totally hooked on it, but I wasn't able to continue it. So you actually lived out what I sort of started wanting to do. So that's cool. Okay, let's talk about In the Eye of the Hurricane. That really, as I mentioned before, touches what were, at least to me, and I'm a bit of a historian in that area, some not realized parts of how we were winning the Revolutionary War is the right word, but how we made the movement that led to a successful end to the war.
Well, you know, even for me, a maritime guy, I didn't fully appreciate the importance of the sea to the ultimate course of the American Revolution. You know, I grew up thinking of it as kind of linear, each battle a stepping stone to the next battle that ultimately led to our victory at Yorktown. But in writing the three books about the Revolution, Bunker Hill and Valiant Ambition Proceeding in the Hurricane's Eye, I began to appreciate that it wasn't that way at all. By 1780, when Benedict Arnold unsuccessfully attempts to surrender West Point to the British, the war has devolved into a stalemate. The British under Sir Henry Clinton are dug into New York, you know, more than 10,000 soldiers there. Washington is based on the Hudson, basically just staring at Clinton. Washington complains that the war drags on like a cart without wheels. You know, there's fighting happening, but most of that's to the south, and it's not good. Horatio Gates, the hero of Saratoga, loses the Battle of Camden to Lord Cornwallis. And, you know, it's just kind of we're stuck in a rut. And what Washington realized was that the only way he could win the victory that might end this thing in a favorable way for America was with the help of the French Navy. The French had joined the war in the spring of 1778. And up until that point, Britain, which was the most powerful naval force in the world, had control of the Atlantic seaboard, which meant that they could not only take any harbor or city on the water that they chose to, but they could transport their troops up and down the seaboard with relatively lightning speed, and there's just nothing Washington could do to contain them. But if the French Navy should bring over a naval force that was roughly equivalent and establish naval superiority along a section of the American coastline, that would give Washington the opportunity to win the victory on land that might end this thing. And so Washington saw this with a clarity that I think no one, even the naval people in France, completely understood as clearly as he did. And so that became his obsession throughout the alliance, was to get the French Navy up the Atlantic coast to help him out. Unfortunately, the French had their own priorities, and a lot of that involved the Caribbean. So it was a very difficult alliance from Washington's perspective.
But he sure pulled it off, didn't he?
He pulled it off, and you know, that's another side. You know, he understood the sea, but he also was really adept at working the alliance. You know, I think we have a tendency in retrospect to think of the partnership between America and France as this, you know, benign ideal melding of two great noble causes. But the fact of the matter, the French were only in it to take it to the British. They had been humiliated during the 7 Years' War, also known as the French and India War in America. They had lost Canada. Their ally, Spain, had lost Florida, Alabama, New Orleans to the British. And they were angry, and they wanted to take Great Britain down a peg and restore the power that France and Spain had enjoyed prior to the 7 Years' War. And so as soon as they entered the war, it turned a colonial rebellion into a world war. And Americans, I think, in their self-serving way, tend to think of the 13 colonies as the jewel in the empire's crown, when actually the real money was to be made in the Caribbean, in the sugar plantations. And so as soon as France and Spain enter the war, their navies head south into the Caribbean, and they duke it out. France gets Tobago, the British get St. Lucia. They're battling it out back and forth and leaving Washington all by himself. He's got a small French force in Newport, a small naval force with 5,000 soldiers under General Rochambeau, but the British Navy has a blockade, and they're bottled up there and unable to go anywhere. So once again, there's Washington engineering all this, and ultimately it would result in the Battle of the Chesapeake that would make possible the great victory at Yorktown.
And what an amazing story that is, and what an amazingly clear way that's presented in this book. I'm just in awe of the book. Folks, if you have not read In the Hurricane's Eye, you want to do it. Nathaniel, people can buy that almost everywhere, I'm sure. Amazon, all the bookstores, I'm sure it's out everywhere, isn't it?
It is. Penguin has just reissued the two previous books about the Revolution I've written, Bunker Hill and Valiant Ambition, and they repackaged them wonderfully. And so you can not only get In the Hurricane's Eye in paperback, but you can also get all three of them, the set. You know, it's been great to finally reach this point and see this war to its conclusion, because I've been working on it as long as the war itself. And it's been quite a deep dive and a fascinating one from my perspective.
And it's amazing how few Americans really understand our history. So three books that will help you understand as clearly as any three I could imagine our Revolutionary War and how and why we won it.
Yeah, and you know, I think what people don't understand is, you know, without France, we would not have won our freedom.
Amen.
We needed that alliance.
Amen. Nathaniel, thank you. Thank you for your book. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you. That book is a service to our nation because it makes clear about how our country began, truly. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, it really means a lot to me.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Bill Steffen about his veteran father on this, our Father's Day show. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Do 18 with each arm, then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. The Citadel. Online. On your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is unveiling a new Middle East peace plan at the White House. The president and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the announcement on Tuesday.
Young people across the Middle East are ready for a more hopeful future. And governments throughout the region are realizing that terrorism and Islamic extremism are everyone's common enemy.
Also going on in Washington.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. while the Senate of the United States is sitting for the trial of the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump.
And with that, the final day of the opening statements in the impeachment trial of President Trump are underway. The president's legal team must conclude their arguments on Tuesday. The next phase of the impeachment trial will be senators asking both sides questions. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm loving my balance of nature. Since I started, I have not gotten one cold. I kind of fight everything. I get a little tickled, but it goes away.
It's just amazing the difference I felt. I want you to know how much I appreciate the counseling and so forth and your attention to your people. I have been a pretty big advocate for the balance of nature. I don't know how many truck drivers have asked me, how in the heck do you keep going at 88, 89 years old? I said, balance of nature. If they want to really enjoy some good health, get on balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's the first one?
Mary, the mother of a Marine, really appreciated the interview with the lady who took Holocaust survivors to Poland. It made great sense to her that they also took young Israeli soldiers.
Agree, Mary. That was a great event, a great idea.
And Tim, an Army vet, liked the comparison of police and the military. He'd never thought of the similarities before.
Tim, we sheepdogs do have a lot in common, don't we? Okay, well now it's time to honor a wonderful vet who's no longer with us. Gottfried Armin Fritz Fradelli was born on June 26, 1917 in Wisconsin at a home that was located above the family's cheese factory. At 18, Fritz hitchhiked and rode the rails to Colorado, Wyoming, and California. He worked at two different dairies and cheese manufacturing companies. Fritz enlisted in the Army in 1939, was assigned to the Horse Artillery. A sergeant at the end of his two-year hitch, Fritz shortly thereafter joined up for the Army Air Corps. An officer convinced him to apply for officer's candidate school. He was commissioned a second lieutenant in 1943. Fritz was assigned to the 363rd Field Artillery Battalion in the 96th Infantry Division as a forward observer. His unit deployed to the Pacific and was in the fifth wave in the invasion of Leyte. Then Fritz went into the second wave on Okinawa. There he was shot through the neck by a Japanese sniper. He lay on a stretcher on the beach for 3 days, stable but totally paralyzed from the neck down, before being placed on a hospital ship. Fritz was admitted to the Letterman Army Hospital in San Francisco. After 7 months, he was able to walk again. He was medically discharged in October 1945 with 100% disability. In 1946, he enrolled in the University of Wisconsin and earned a degree in dairy science. He married Helen Bradfield on September 17, 1949, then moved to Tampico, Mexico, where he started a dairy business. They had 4 sons and lived there till 1962, when the dairy business was federalized. They returned to the U.S. and restarted their lives in San Antonio, Texas. 3 of his 4 sons went into the military with ROTC commissions. The 4th son became a medical doctor. Fritz lived a rich and rewarding life until his death on December 22, 2004.
Well, Colonel, he really gave a lot to his country, didn't he?
He did. Wow, I can't even imagine some of that. Well, it's military history time. Skip, lead out, bro.
On 17 June 1775, British General William Howe landed his troops on the Charlestown Peninsula overlooking Boston, Massachusetts, and led them against Breed's Hill, a fortified American position just below Bunker Hill. As the British advanced in columns, American General William Prescott reportedly told his men, "Don't one of you fire until you see the whites of their eyes." When the Redcoats were within 40 yards, the Americans let loose with a lethal barrage of musket fire, throwing the British into retreat. After reforming his lines, Howe attacked again, with much the same result. Prescott's men were now low on ammunition, though, and when Howe led his men up the hill for a third time, they reached the redoubts and engaged the Americans in hand-to-hand combat. The outnumbered Americans were forced to retreat. The Patriots' gunfire had cut down nearly 1,000 enemy troops, including 92 officers. Of the 370 Patriots who fell, most were struck while in retreat. The British had won the so-called Battle of Bunker Hill and Breed's Hill, and the Charlestown Peninsula fell firmly under British control. Despite losing their strategic positions, the battle was a morale builder for the Americans, convincing them that patriotic dedication could overcome superior British military might.
And it did. And on 20 June 1864, during the Civil War, General John Bell Hood's Confederate force attacked William Sherman's troops outside of Atlanta, but they were repulsed with heavy losses. This was Hood's first battle as the head of the Army of Tennessee. He had assumed command from Joseph Johnson just 2 days before, when Confederate President Jefferson Davis replaced Johnson after Sherman had backed Johnson into this key southern city. Davis selected the more offensive-minded Hood to defeat Sherman. Hood wasted little time. He planned to strike the Union Army as it crossed the Peachtree Creek. The waterway was deep, and the Confederates destroyed all the bridges on the retreat into Atlanta. Hood suspected that Yankees were most vulnerable when only part of their force was across the creek, so he planned a two-pronged attack to hold part of the Union Army at bay while the rest could be pinned against Peachtree Creek. It was a sound plan, but poorly executed. Scheduled for 1 p.m., the attack was delayed for 3 hours while Hood's troops shifted into position. The overall assault lacked a general coordination, so units charged the Union positions piecemeal. 20,000 rebels assaulted the same number of Yankees. The Confederates achieved some success, but couldn't drive the Union troops back. After 3 hours, Hood ordered a halt to the advance. He did try again later.
On 19 June 1944, in what would become known as the Marianas Turkey Shoot, U.S. carrier-based fighters decimated the Japanese fleet with only a minimum of losses in the Battle of the Philippine Sea. The security of the Marianas Islands in the Western Pacific were vital to Japan. Our Fifth Fleet was on its way west as backup for the invasion of Saipan and the rest of the Marianas, but the Japanese admiral decided to challenge the American fleet, ordering 430 of his planes, launched from aircraft carriers, to attack. In what became the greatest carrier battle of the war, our Navy, having already picked up the Japanese craft on radar, proceeded to shoot down over 300 aircraft and sink 2 aircraft carriers, losing only 29 of their own planes. It was described in the aftermath as a turkey shoot. Admiral Zawa, believing his missing planes had landed on their Guam airbase, maintained his position in the Philippine Sea, allowing for a second attack of our fighter planes to shoot down an additional 65 Japanese planes and sink another carrier. In total, the Japanese lost 480 aircraft, three-quarters of its total, not to mention most of the crews.
And that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Let's do it this week.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. Listen, folks, evil exists. Someday evil will visit your door. Will you be ready? If you're not, now is the time to start looking into it and learning the skills necessary to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Soundly asleep in her bedroom in Kansas City, a 74-year-old woman awakened to the sound of a burglar breaking her door open. Startled, the woman grabbed her recently purchased handgun and met the intruder at the top of the stairs, where she took aim and fired a single fatal shot. EMS arrived on the scene to save the life of the homeowner, who suffered a heart attack after the incident.
Colonel, I love stories like this. primarily, you know, especially when you've got like a 74-year-old woman, right? I get a lot of elderly people in my class. And elderly to me is anyone who's older than I am. So
careful there, dude.
Well, you know what I mean, Colonel. But, you know, these little old ladies, these grandmas, great grandmas, come out onto the range and they'll be shooting. And a lot of them can only handle a .22 caliber pistol because of the recoil and they can't rack the slide, all of this stuff. And some other big tough guys, right, will ridicule them. But the truth is, I did the research on this lady. She was shooting a .22 caliber pistol. But, you know, when you shoot them in the head, it doesn't matter how big the bullet is. It really doesn't.
And my wife shoots a .22 mag.
Yes, that's right.
That will do some serious damage.
Definitely. You know, and the bottom line is, you basically, you shoot the highest caliber that you can safely and accurately control. And if it's a 9mm, fine. If it's a .45, fine. But if it's a .22, that doesn't mean that you just can't go armed. It just means you have to be a better shot. And headshots, that's nothing to scoff at.
Yes, indeed. And I suspect the late burglar, if he were here, would agree with you.
Absolutely, Colonel.
Our movie of the month is Marcos Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. This is a very appropriate movie. You want to see it. And we'll review it at the end of the month. I'd really appreciate your input. The book giveaway this month is Rene Nichelle's Always My Hero. To get in on the drawing, send me an email to denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com and put Always My Hero in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, General Arnold Pinero will join us to discuss our nation's challenges. We'll also talk with Steve Wilson from HelpVet.net about helping vets. Pilot Randy Norton will discuss World War II aircraft, and he knows a lot about them. And I'll shoot the bull with combat veteran Tom Norton.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Fisher House is a huge part of the recovery for wounded, injured, and ill service members and veterans. They provide a comfortable, safe place for their families. It's not a hotel. These houses are located at military and VA medical centers all over the U.S. and around the world. They have a common kitchen, laundry facilities, a warm dining room, and an inviting living room, too. Help make a difference in the lives of military and veterans' families. Learn how you can help Fisher House today at fisherhouse.org.
Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. Yet Lieutenant Clint Lawrence is at Fort Leavenworth for 19 years. Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher are also accused of killing the enemy in combat. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is unveiling a new Middle East peace plan at the White House. The president and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the announcement on Tuesday.
Young people across the Middle East are ready for a more hopeful future. And governments throughout the region are realizing that terrorism and Islamic extremism are everyone's common enemy.
Also going on in Washington.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. While the Senate of the United States is sitting for the trial of the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump.
And with that, the final day of the opening statements in the impeachment trial of President Trump are underway. The president's legal team must conclude their arguments on Tuesday. The next phase of the impeachment trial will be senators asking both sides questions. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
There's a warning out there about a very common medication. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The head of the American Association of Nurse Practitioners is blowing the whistle on the overuse of medications containing acetaminophen. They say it results in an estimated 59,000 emergency room visits and 38,000 hospitalizations every year. The president of the association, Sophia Thomas, says the maximum daily dose of acetaminophen should be 4,000 milligrams, but she says taking more than that can lead to liver damage. Acetaminophen is found in over 600 prescriptions and over-the-counter medicines used to treat colds, coughs, and fever. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The bodies of two U.S. pilots are on their way home. U.S. forces recovered the crew from the scene of where a military plane crashed in Afghanistan on Monday. It crashed in an area controlled by the Taliban. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Pro-life Democratic voter Kristen Day grills Mayor Pete on the lack of diversity and inclusiveness when it comes to party members like her. Now, this all took place at a Fox News town hall.
I am a proud pro-life Democrat. Would you support more moderate platform language in the Democratic Party to ensure that the party of diversity and inclusion really does include everybody?
The best I can offer is that we may disagree on that very important issue. And hopefully we will be able to partner on other issues.
Now, after that exchange, Day was on Fox News and asked if Mayor Pete answered her question.
No, really, there's only one right answer to that question. You know, but I would first of all say that when I asked him the question, I didn't ask him where he stood on abortion. That was not my question at all. And the fact that he took that opportunity to double down
and sort of alienate pro-life Democrats even further. Mm-hmm. Just showed me that he does not want our vote. He doesn't want us to in the party, because if he did, he would say, of course, we're a big tent party that includes everybody. And, you know, I'm willing to discuss platform language with you. But, he could say that and reinforce that he's pro-choice and, you know, let's find ways that we can work together.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1986 when the space shuttle Challenger explodes only 73 seconds after liftoff. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is unveiling a new Middle East peace plan at the White House. The president and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the announcement on Tuesday.
Young people across the Middle East are ready for a more hopeful future, and governments throughout the region are realizing that terrorism and Islamic extremism are everyone's common enemy.
Also going on in Washington.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. While the Senate of the United States is sitting for the trial of the articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives against Donald John Trump.
And with that, the final day of the opening statements in the impeachment trial of President Trump are underway. The president's legal team must conclude their arguments on Tuesday. The next phase of the impeachment trial will be senators asking both sides questions. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
There's a warning out there about a very common medication. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
The head of the American Association of Nurse Practitioners is blowing the whistle on the overuse of medications containing acetaminophen. They say it results in an estimated 59,000 emergency room visits and 38,000 hospitalizations every year. The president of the association, Sophia Thomas, says the maximum daily dose of acetaminophen should be 4,000 milligrams, but she says taking more than that can lead to liver damage. Acetaminophen is found in over 600 prescriptions and over-the-counter medicines used to treat colds, coughs, and fever. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The bodies of two U.S. pilots are on their way home. U.S. forces recovered the crew from the scene of where a military plane crashed in Afghanistan on Monday. It crashed in an area controlled by the Taliban. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
pro-life Democratic voter Kristen Day grills Mayor Pete on the lack of diversity and inclusiveness when it comes to party members like her. Now, this all took place at a Fox News town hall.
I am a proud pro-life Democrat. Would you support more moderate platform language in the Democratic Party to ensure that the party of diversity and inclusion really does include everybody?
The best I can offer is that we may disagree on that very important issue, and hopefully we will be able to partner on other issues.
Now, after that exchange, Day was on Fox News and asked if Mayor Pete answered her question.
No, really, there's only one right answer to that question. You know, but I would first of all say that when I asked him the question, I didn't ask him where he stood on abortion. That was not my question at all. And the fact that he took that opportunity to double down and sort of alienate pro-life Democrats even further just showed me that he does not want our vote. He doesn't want us to in the party. Because if he did, he would say, of course, we're a big tent party that includes everybody. And, you know, I'm willing to discuss platform language with you. But, you know, he could say that and reinforce that he's pro-choice and, you know, let's find ways that we can work together.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1986 when the Space Shuttle Challenger explodes only 73 seconds after liftoff. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. The Frontlines of Freedom team salutes all fathers on this Father's Day weekend. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Well, happy Father's Day to you too, Colonel. Yes, we're both in this dad boat together. But I'm holding my breath a bit this weekend because my oldest is taking his first glider flight, an opportunity provided by his Civil Air Patrol squadron. Me? I only do fixed wing with at least one engine, so I'll be relieved once he's back on terra firma. Blessings to all the fellow dads who are spending time with us this weekend. That's what Father's Day weekend is all about, getting to do that which we enjoy doing, even if it means doing nothing at all.
Thanks, Josh. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is going to join us to share some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is the father of the most kids on the Frontlines of Freedom team. So you're the winner, Skip.
Well, you know, I earned it, Colonel. Are you talking about seven kids?
Yeah.
Seven kids. That's a lot of kids.
And you don't have that much gray hair.
Well, I joke with my wife, Sarah, all the time. I say, you know, someday you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to look at me and go, oh my gosh, it's an old man. And the truth is, people say, I don't look as old as I am, but I'm aging from the inside out.
Yes, it's nice to look good on the outside, but yes, you look on the inside. Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that the recognition and honor given to the D-Day soldiers was totally appropriate, but the soldiers of the more recent wars are worthy of that too. Colonel Alan West will discuss the absolutely unacceptable situation our military has been enduring for years, that of combat veterans being charged, tried, convicted, and jailed for murder because they killed the enemy in combat. Then we're going to meet Renee Nichelle and discuss her book about her combat veteran brother. The book is Always My Hero. Next, Nathaniel Philsides will share about his book, In the Hurricane. It's about how our nation won the Revolutionary War. I learned a bit from this book. And my favorite weatherman, Bill Steffen, will join us to discuss his father, a combat veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel. We'll start with the news. Lead out, Josh.
Our Navy has released videos showing the close call the guided missile cruiser Chancellorsville had with a Russian warship in the Philippine Sea. And one appears to show shirtless Russian sailors sunbathing as the tense encounter played out. Navy officials say the Russian warship came within 50 to 100 feet of the Chancellorsville, putting the ship and her crew at risk. The 7th Fleet said in a statement, quote, "This unsafe action forced Chancellorsville to execute all engines back full and to maneuver to avoid collision," end quote. Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson said in a statement, quote, "The behavior by the captain of the Russian destroyer in the Philippine Sea was irresponsible and reckless. This unwise maneuver and previous actions by the Russians at sea and in the air do not match what the world expects from a responsible and trustworthy world power," end quote. The cruiser was on a steady course and speed while recovering a helicopter when the Russian destroyer maneuvered from behind and to the right, speeding up and coming dangerously close to sideswiping the ship. The close encounter with the Russian ship was the second the Navy had in 3 days with the Russian military. Earlier, a Navy P-8A Poseidon aircraft was flying in international airspace above the Mediterranean when it was intercepted by a Russian Su-35 three times. Navy officials said one of the passes was unsafe.
I don't think either of these incidents was an accident. Russia is doing all it can do to show its muscle. We have to be ready to deal with things like this. Someday someone's going to die during one of these reckless maneuvers.
Brigadier General Laura Yeager, who early in her career served as a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter aeromedical evacuation pilot, will become the first woman in history to lead a U.S. Army infantry division. Yeager is scheduled to assume command of the California National Guard's storied 40th Infantry Division during a ceremony at the Joint Forces Training Base in Los Alamitos on June 29th. Yeager currently commands the Joint Task Force North, U.S. Northern Command, at Fort Bliss, Texas. She began her active duty military service in May 1986, receiving her commission as a second lieutenant from the ROTC at California State University, Long Beach. She completed military helicopter training in 1989, and upon completion served as a pilot. Yeager left active duty after 8 years when her son was born, but later continued her military career in the California Army National Guard. In 2011, Yeager deployed to Iraq as the deputy commander of the California Guard's 40th Combat Aviation Brigade. There, she served as battalion commander of the 3rd Battalion 140th Aviation Regiment and brigade commander of the 40th Combat Aviation Brigade.
General Yeager had an interesting career, but as an infantryman, I'm not sure that someone who has never been in the infantry or the armor and whose combat experience is leading an aviation battalion and brigade is the right person to command an infantry division.
The top commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East says he believes the Iranians or their proxies may orchestrate an attack at any moment. Marine General Frank McKenzie said in an exclusive broadcast interview with NBC News in the Iraqi capital, quote, "I think the threat is imminent," end quote. He stated, "We continually evaluate our force posture in the region." The U.S. has beefed up its military presence in the region in an effort to deter Iran and protect American forces and allies. Over the last month, the Trump administration announced that it was sending an aircraft carrier strike group and Air Force bombers to the Middle East, as well as Patriot missiles and additional troops, amid heightened concerns of an Iranian attack. General McKenzie stressed that tensions remain high, saying, quote, "I don't actually believe the threat has diminished. I believe the threat is still very real," end quote. McKenzie made the statements after holding a series of meetings with the Iraqi prime minister and defense chief. McKenzie said he was heartened by the efforts of the Iraqi government to protect American forces and its allies in the region. General McKenzie noted that, to date, roadside bombs have posed the biggest danger to American forces in Iraq. But he added that the threat from the Iranians is evolving. He said, quote, "They probe for weaknesses all the time. I would say the threat has probably evolved in certain ways, even as our defensive posture has changed and become more aggressive. And we certainly thank our Iraqi partners for many of the things they've done. I think we're still in the period of what I would call tactical warning. The threat is very real. End quote. McKenzie declined to go into specifics on the nature of the threats.
Recently, at least four oil tankers in the Persian Gulf have been attacked, and there are reports that Iran has told its proxy terrorist groups to be prepared to attack Americans. Another factor is the U.S. sanctions are really, really hurting Iran financially. They may not be able to finance the attacks that they seek. We'll see.
The Department of Veterans Affairs charged nearly 73,000 veterans improper home loan funding fees, totaling up to $286 million, an error that could result in refunds for the affected veterans. The VA Inspector General released a report saying that from January 2012 through December of 2017,